You know, heroism doesn't crop out much in the church today. It's like Dr. Tozier said, same business on the other side of the street. Just make it easy on yourself and rationalize it greatly. I don't know any great heroic feast that has endured through history to memorialize a compromiser, a money grabber, a rationalizer, a self-aggrandizer. Do you? Haman got his, Mordecai and Esther are remembered. This is a feast I can get identified with. This is a memorial I can tune in on. Then Mattathias answered and said in a loud voice, quote, if all the heathen in the king's dominions listen to him and forsake each of them the religion of his forefathers and choose to follow his commands instead, the king that is, yet I and my sons and my brothers will live in accordance with the agreement of our forefathers. God forbid that we should abandon the law and the ordinances. We will not listen to the message of the king or depart from our religion to the right hand or to the left. As he ceased to utter these words, now, there are lots of modern Jewish leaders that like to play down this rebellion, fight for freedom, stand up for your religious independence, hard-headed basis for the Hanukkah feast, and they like to emphasize the lighter side, lighting candles. But this is what Hanukkah's about. Like it or lump it, try to cover it up. This is the way it is. As Mattathias ceased to utter these words, a Jew went up before the eyes of all of them to offer sacrifice as the king commanded on the altar in Modin. And Mattathias saw him and was filled with zeal, and his heart was stirred, and he was very properly roused to anger. You're starting to find why they don't want to call this scripture. And was very properly roused to anger and ran up and slaughtered him on the altar. At the same time, he killed the king's officer who was trying to compel them to sacrifice. Well, you're getting animated. This is review. And he tore down the altar. Thus, he showed his zeal. Zeal for the law, just as Phinehas did to Zimri, the son of Salem. Now, that's another one we got to look into. Then Mattathias cried out in a loud voice in the town and said, you see where the world's coming to? Hey, love, you know. All these other little cherubic things that are associated with Christmas. This blood and gut stuff, they try to suppress that. Then Mattathias cried out in a loud voice in the town and said, let everybody who is zealous for the law and stands by the agreement come out after me. And he and his sons fled to the mountains and left all they possessed in the town. That's the price of no compromise. Then many seekers for uprightness and justice went down into the wilderness to settle with their sons and their wives and their cattle. Because their hardships had become so severe, news reached the king's agents and the forces that were in Jerusalem in the city of David that men who had disregarded the king's order had gone down to the hiding places in the wilderness. And they pursued them in force and overtook them and pitched their camp against them and prepared to attack them on the Sabbath day. They said to them, "Enough, come out, do as the king commands, and you'll live." And they said, "We will not come out, nor do as the king commands, and break the Sabbath." Now, this is not Mattathias. These are the fundamentalists of that day who were going to not break the Sabbath. Then the king's forces hastened to attack them. They made no response to them. They didn't throw a stone at them nor block up their hiding places, for they said, worrying about their image, "Let us all die guiltless. We call heaven and earth to witness that you destroy us unlawfully. You're just as dead." So they attacked them on the Sabbath, and they died with their wives and their children, their cattle, to the number of 1,000 people. Mattathias and his friends learned of it, and they grieved bitterly over him and said one to another, "If we all do as our brothers have done and refuse to fight against the heathen for our lives and what we believe is right, they'll very soon destroy us from the face of the earth." Well, smart. All you got to do is attack on the Sabbath, and you're all dead because we won't fight back. On that day, they reached this decision. "If anyone attacks us on the Sabbath day, let us fight against him and not all die as our brothers died in the hiding places." And that's the beginning of the Maccabean Rebellion. Sabbath or no, we're going to grab their innards and squeeze. After Matthias and his sons decided that they would never suffer the fate of the other pietists and refused to fight on the Sabbath because it was easy and simple to figure out, if Antiochus' forces attacked them on the Sabbath, they're all dead. Too hot in here, Mike. And at first, it was difficult for the partisans of Mattathias to find common ground with the alternative movement of those pietists, so literalist and legalistic. I'm reading The Festivals of the Jewish Year by Theodore H. Gaster. Hanukkah is the subject. The pietists tended to regard Mattathias and his group as hotheads, more interested in nationalistic chauvinism than in the real defense of their ancestral faith. That's this writer's opinion. I doubt that'd be true of Mattathias. Later, however, under the pressure of arising emergency, ideological differences, if they existed, I'd add, were subordinated to a unified program of militant resistance. Mattathias and his sons took charge. Then the aged Mattathias died, and the movement began to be headed by his third son, Judah, surnamed the Maccabee. And after a succession of singular victories over police expeditions dispatched by Antiochus, the partisans of Judas the Maccabee eventually stormed the Temple Hill, drove out the garrison, cleansed the sanctuary, and reestablished the traditional order of services. The event is said to have taken place by a dramatic coincidence on the third anniversary of Antiochus' order of desecration. The Maccabees celebrated their triumph with an 8-day festival, and with the consent of the ecclesiastical authorities, enjoined, as they had with Purim in the days of Esther, to remember that fight for freedom, enjoined that it be perpetuated in Israel as the feast of dedication. As you know, the festival is today one of the most popular of Jewish observances. Were we to read the record in much more detail in the Apocrypha, which was in the King James and was in the Septuagint, the Bible of Jesus, the disciples, and the apostles, we'd find in much detail the story of the restoration of the temple and the relighting of the menorah, the sacred candlestick in the temple. Now, in the modern world, to play down the blood and guts fight for freedom, religious freedom, origin of the Hanukkah feast, the tinsel and glitter of the lighting of the lights is emphasized. This is a freedom festival. Now, if these apocryphal books, from which we just read the wonderful record that is the basis for Hanukkah, were in the scripture, the Septuagint, that Jesus used, And the Septuagint, thus the Bible that Paul and the apostles used, and were included in the King James Version, the product of scholarship of unbelievable quality. If you'll remember the teaching that I did when we went through the biographical sketches of the translators of the King James, then why do we have to bow to the Puritan decision to take it out? Because they, as I've said, if I may review for you, have eliminated a lot of things that the church is no longer willing to say God also requires to be eliminated. In this Apocrypha, not only the first and second book of Maccabees, but the first book of Esdras. Now, Esdras is nothing other than the Greek for Ezra, because the apocryphal books were included in the Septuagint, which was a Greek translation of the Old Testament. Had they followed suit and used Greek names, or rather Hebrew names and not Greek names, we would never have Jesus called the Christ. We would always have him called the Messiah. Because Christ comes from the Greek word for the Hebrew word Messiah. Esdras is Greek for Ezra. But because Ezra in the Old Testament has taken as its name, because it was included in the subsequent Hebrew Bible that left out the Apocrypha, Ezra is called Ezra. But the Greek for the first book of Esdras and second book of Esdras is carried forward from the Apocryphal. The book of Tobit, interesting little book. We don't have much to record the carrying away of the house of Israel and those of Judah that were carried away by the Assyrians and resettled prior to the conquering of Judah by Babylon. But not only were the 10-tribed kingdom people, 10 tribes so-called, the house of Israel, carried into bondage and resettled by the Assyrians in the territory between them and the Medes, which translates as people into the Iranians of today, and resettled to provide a buffer state, they were also settled in various parts of the kingdom, depending upon the talents of some of the people. And Tobit is the only book on record written by one of those carried into bondage and resettled by the Assyrians. The book of Judith, the additions to the book of Esther, which provide a religious tone to the book of Esther, the Wisdom of Solomon, the Ecclesiasticus, or the Wisdom of Sirach, the book of Baruch, the story of Susanna, the Song of the Three Children, the story of Bel and the Dragon, the prayer of Manasseh, the first book of Maccabees, and the second book of Maccabees. All of those were in the Apocrypha. Now, if they should still be there and treated, now if you want to treat them scholarly, let them stand on their own feet. It's too cold now, each of them. Fine, that's fine. I can do that. But if you're going to say these King James translators, following the suit of the canonizers of Scripture, were led of God and knew what should be included in the canon of the Word of God, You got to deal with these books. Now, Hanukkah was the subject. Let's take a look at Esdras. Interesting little record in Esdras that I've been on before, but since I'm reviewing tonight, in the second book of Esdras, eleventh chapter, it came to pass on the second night, this prophet in Esdras of the apocryphal scripture, that I had a dream. And behold, there came up out of the sea an eagle with 12 feather-covered wings and 3 heads. Now, there are many words in the Greek for eagle. Lots of people have gotten confused in heraldry, from heraldry to scripture. The word here is for the vulture kind of eagle. The word that Jesus used when he said, where the carcass is, there the eagles will be. Doesn't have a thing to do with the bald eagle, which is the symbol and national bird of the United States. Bald eagle is not a vulture. This is a vulture type eagle. Came up out of the sea an eagle with 12 feather-covered wings and 3 heads. And I looked, and behold, he spread his wings over the whole earth. And all the winds of heaven blew upon him, and the clouds gathered about him. And I looked, and out of his wings grew additional wings, and they became small, dwarfish wings. But his heads were resting. The middle head was greater than the other heads, but it was resting like them. Now, you say, well, that's sort of far out, about like Daniel, who saw kingdoms as beasts. And ironically, when he came to the fourth beastly kingdom that's identified with Rome, it's always called the nondescript beast. He was able to identify the first beast as like a lion, the second beast is like a bear, the third beast is like a leopard. But Daniel had no reference point, having identified the first three with realistic animals. The fourth beast, the Roman Empire, was just described as nondescript. It wasn't described, just called a beast. Now, here is a beast not capable of being directly analogized to any living being. But now we're getting a description of this strange three-headed eagle. His heads were resting. The middle head was greater than the other heads, but it was resting like them. And I looked, and behold, the eagle flew with his wings to reign over the earth and over those who live on it. And I saw that everything under heaven was subject to him, and no one opposed him, nor any creature that was on the earth. And I looked, and behold, the eagle rose upon his talons and uttered his voice to his wings, saying, here's the eagle talking to his wings, do not all watch at once, sleep each in his own place and watch by turns, but let the heads be reserved for the last. Now, that's strange. The eagle is talking to his wings, but it's obviously not the heads talking, because he gives some directions to the heads too. Strange. And I looked, and behold, the voice did not come from his heads, but from the midst of his body. And I counted his additional wings, and behold, there were 8 of them. And I looked, and behold, on the right side one wing arose, and it reigned over the whole earth. And it came to pass after it had reigned that it came to an end and disappeared. so that even the place where it had been could not be seen. Then the second arose and reigned, and it ruled a long time. And it came to pass after it had reigned that it also came to an end, so that it disappeared like the first. And behold, a voice was heard saying to it, "Listen, you who have ruled the earth so long, I make this proclamation to you before you begin to disappear. No one after you will rule as long as you have ruled, or even half as long." Then the third wing raised itself up and ruled like the former ones, and it also disappeared. Oh, this is review. Anybody want to sit here and interpret this, since it's all so old hat? I'm boring you. You know all this. I mean, you know, so tired of hearing about this three-headed eagle. Go to church every Sunday and get the three-headed eagle interpreted. Here we go again. Get the three-headed eagle interpreted, eat junk food and go home. These reviews are something awful. The three-headed eagle seen in vision in 2 Esdras chapter 11. I counted his additional wings, and behold, there were eight of them. And I looked, and behold, on the right side one wing arose, and it reigned over the whole earth. Remember, this prophet is looking to the north from Jerusalem area. And to the right should be put in that context. One wing arose, and it reigned over the whole earth, and it came to pass after it had reigned that it came to an end and disappeared, so that even the place where it had been could not be seen. Then the second wing arose and reigned, and it ruled a long time. And it came to pass, after it had reigned, that it also came to an end, so that it disappeared like the first. And behold, a voice was heard saying to it, "Listen, you who have ruled the earth so long, I make this proclamation to you before you begin to disappear. Not one after you will rule as long as you have ruled, or even half as long." I'm relighting my cigar. A necessary part of the whole process of smoking it. Then the third wing raised itself up and ruled like the former ones, and it also disappeared. And so it fell to all the wings, one by one, to be emperor and then to disappear again. Now, the reason the devil wants this book out is, if this was under divine inspiration, prophetic, there ain't no way they can do to this one, the enemies of God's revelation of his power to control history, that they can attack it and say it's history and not prophecy. This was in the Septuagint in Jesus' day. Pretty hard to get around this one. And the test of a prophet is, does what he says come true? So it fell to all the wings, one by one, to be emperor and then to disappear again. And I looked, and behold, in due time, the additional wings on the right side raised themselves up in order to be emperor. And there were some of them who succeeded, but immediately disappeared, and some of them raised themselves up, but did not remain emperor. And afterward I looked, and behold, the 12 wings and 2 little wings disappeared. And nothing was left on the eagle's body except the 3 heads that were resting and 6 little wings. The wind's blowing. And I looked, and behold, from the 6 little wings, 2 separated and stayed under the head that was on the right side. But 4 of the 6 little wings stayed in their places. This is no stranger than horns coming out on ram's heads and little horns displacing other horns on the goat's head. And toes on the image, and horns and crowns on the beast. This is symbolism. Now, did somebody eat some non-kosher food and have a nightmare? Or was this is in Septuagint. This was available to the preachers of the New Testament day, long before John wrote his book of Revelation. Paul could have preached on this text at Corinth, announced it in the Corinthian Times, the 3-headed bird, and the 6 little wings. Behold, from the 6 little wings, 2 separated and stayed under the head that was on the right side, and 4 stayed in their places. And I looked, and behold, these 4 additional wings planned to raise themselves up and be emperors. And I looked, and behold, 1 raised itself up and immediately disappeared. And the 2nd, and it disappeared more quickly than the 1st. You know, the ratio of disappearance of these wings would make me a bit cautious about. But these don't seem to learn anything. And I looked, and behold, the 2 that were left also planned to reign. But while they were planning it, behold, the one of the resting heads that was in the middle awoke. This is a strange beast. Because the heads don't seem to be any more in control than the wings. The voice of command is coming from the middle of the body. My God, what a movie could be done with this. If Spiegelberg ever gets on this one, what a loss that the Apocrypha has fallen into disrepute. One of the resting heads that was in the middle awoke, for it was greater than the other 2 heads. And I saw how the 2 heads were united with it, and behold, the head turned with the ones that were with it, and it ate up the additional wings which planned to reign. Boy, they could wish it had stayed asleep a bit longer. Moreover, this head made itself master of the whole earth and ruled very oppressively over its inhabitants. And it had more power over the world than all the wings that had gone before. And afterward I looked, and behold, the middle head suddenly disappeared, just as the wings had done. But the 2 heads remained. They also reigned over the earth and over its inhabitants. And I looked, and behold, this is review, I can't stop anywhere, you already know it all. And I looked, and behold, the head on the right side ate up the one on the left. tell you, there's advantage to being a one-headed person. Then I heard a voice saying unto me, look before you and think about what you see. I already am. And I looked, and behold. Just old boring review. Been around since the King James, been around since the Septuagint. Want me to continue?
Yes, sir.
He's rubbing his neck. Really, this review is really hard on people here tonight. I'm not going to look that way. A couple other voices of faith will probably have phone cords around his neck for the night show. Get on a telephone. Here's an interesting call from Dundee, Florida. We want you on earlier. We are bleary-eyed, staying up watching you all night. We're going to get our friends to storm the station for an earlier time. Can you explain the beard and then no beard and then a beard again? Well, I'm on the eagle tonight. A wing and then no wing. A head and then no head. Alternating beard, sort of dim by comparison. I looked and behold, the head on the right side ate up the one on the left. Then I heard a voice saying unto me, look before you and think about what you see. And as I said, to review what I said, that's what I was already doing. And I looked and behold, Winsboro, Texas said, call and says, my God, don't stop on a behold. And I looked and behold, what seemed to be a lion rose out of the forest roaring. And I heard how he uttered a man's voice to the eagle and spoke, saying, listen and I will speak to you. The Most High says to you, this eagle, are you not all that is left of the four animals that I made to reign in my world? The beast kingdoms. So that through them the end of my times might come. And you are the fourth to come, and you've conquered all the animals that are past, and you've held the world in subjection and great terror, and the whole earth with harsh oppression, and you've lived so long in the world with deceit. And you've not judged the earth with truth. You have persecuted the meek and hurt the peaceable. You've hated those who tell the truth and love liars. A fundamentalist. And you have destroyed the dwellings of the fruitful and torn down the walls of those who did you no harm. And your insolence has reached the Most High, and your pride the Mighty One. And the Most High has looked at his times, checked his calendar, and behold, they're ended, and his ages are completed. Therefore, you will surely disappear, you eagle, and your dreadful wings, and your wicked additional wings, and your malignant heads, and your cruel talons, and your whole worthless body. I like the way this lion talks. So that the whole earth may be freed from your violence, and be refreshed and relieved and hope for the justice and mercy of him who made her. And it came to pass, while the lion was saying these words to the eagle, that I looked, and behold, the head that had been left disappeared. And the two wings which had gone over to it lifted themselves up to rain. And their rain was short and full of uproar. And I looked, and behold, they also disappeared. And the whole body of the eagle was burned, and the earth was panic-stricken. And then, because of great disturbance of mind and great fear, I awoke. And I said, Sovereign Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, and if I'm counted upright by you beyond many, and if my prayers indeed come up before your face, strengthen me and show your slave the meaning and explanation of this dreadful vision so as to comfort my soul fully. For you have thought me worthy to be shown the end of the times and the last of them. And he said to me, quote, This is the meaning of the vision that you have seen. As for the eagle that you saw rising from the sea, it is the fourth kingdom, the nondescript beast, that appeared in a vision to your brother Daniel. But it was not explained to him as I now explain it to you. Behold, the days are coming when a kingdom will rise on the earth, and it will be more terrible than all the kingdoms that were before it. Moreover, want me to continue
Yes, sir.
With this review?
Yes, sir.